this guy is world-class coach. Doesn't do anything on the internet. He's a coach's coach. Been in the trenches since day one. And Brendan is really like the first guy I saw when I heard about CrossFit. He was a coach at the original CrossFit in Santa Cruz. That's where he's originally from. And the guy's just amazing, in the trenches. He's an expert coach. He's had many, I guess he's going to give many stories. He's here with his lady. Allison's here. They're going to come up later for a Q&A at the end of the day, which will also be interesting because I know some of you either are working with your girlfriend, boyfriend, husband, wife, etc., or just learning how to communicate with, you know, the person you're in love with as a business partner. But B has gone from West Coast, East Coast, Virginia Beach, Brooklyn, and the guy is just top-notch coach. He's going to really talk to you about, like what we said in the beginning, the truth, the ups and downs. The guy's a fucking warrior, and I wanted to bring him in because he inspires me, and he's somebody that we got to learn from, not just from how he always comes out on top, from all the ups and downs that he goes through. Fucking dude's a warrior, but he's world-class coach. He's amazing. And just not really, I think people in the CrossFit community know about him, but I don't know how many CrossFit guys we have here, but the dude's amazing. He's going to speak from the heart, and that's, you know, what we're all going to do. Remember, you got to get one thing from each speaker. Listen to this guy. He's a fucking warrior. He's a bad mofo.
All right, man. Thanks, dude. Zach, man. That's my boy right here.
You know, I met Brendan and Alice. I was like, those two, like, sweetest people right there, genuine, humble, so nice. This guy, you know, when the coaches are up here, they don't, like, tout how great they are. That's why I'm doing it. I ain't kidding you. This guy's fucking awesome. Allison, badass Olympic lifter, awesome coach. They've been through a lot of ups and downs. They came out on top, okay? Let's listen to this guy. He's gonna rock.
All right. I really want you guys to like leave, you know, this seminar feeling like, you know, you guys can walk away better coaches and just running your businesses and the way you guys lead your lives with like a new set of, you know, new mindset in a lot of ways. And my story, you know, it goes up and fucking down and up and back down again. And what I want you guys to understand is that, you know, I've been in this game for a real long time. I want you guys to understand that my love for what I do and my fascination for, you know, fitness in general and getting strong and just like the electricity that pumps through my veins in the fucking morning when I get up because I just love going where I go and I love doing what I do makes it so no matter where I end up or what sort of adversities hit me, I always get back up on top. And I even when I'm fucking down, I'm not even upset. Like, it doesn't even, like, bring me down mentally because in my head, I always know where I want to go and I always know what the fuck I'm doing and that shit, like, just sets me straight. So always just be committed to what you do. Always just love everything about it and just believe in it and don't sell your shit out to nobody. You're going to have people talk shit. You're going to have people fucking, like, telling you this and telling you that. You're gonna have people trying, you know, people coming into your gym and trying to tell you that, like, you know, maybe you should be training more like this or like, what about this or what about that? No, fucking believe in what you believe in and never fucking give up with that shit, and you'll end up on top. You'll end up making a lot of money. You'll end up having the right friends. You'll end up having the right life. Everything's gonna work itself out. So I want you guys to just understand that through this story that I'm gonna tell you, I'm gonna open up with you guys. I'm gonna tell you some shit that like hardly anybody even knows. For the first part of the story, you're going to hear some shit about me that I never even really told anybody before. And I want you to just understand that I'm a good motherfucking person, and I believe that. And that's really what, no matter how bad it got for me, you understand that those principles right there, what I just told you, is what always brings me through. So, that being said, I'm from Santa Cruz, and I was really lucky to be in the right place at the right time, and, you know, not just in location, but also where I was in my life. My story starts, actually, in terms of my fitness career, in prison. And I got locked up for a couple of years when I was 19, because I was doing stupid shit, and I was living a bad life, and I was like, you know, surrounded in negativity, and you know, around the wrong people, doing the wrong things, trying to make money the wrong way, and you know, it got me what I got. I deserved that shit, but that was the biggest turning point in my life, and it was the best thing that could have happened to me. Fucking telling you that shit straight up. That's where I became a coach. That's where I learned about who I was going to be and what I was going to do and where I found this shit. I was doing handstand push-ups and burpees and pistols and sprints in the motherfucking yard, and I was running the program for these guys. And I was actually, you know, when I got there, I was, you know, paralyzed for about a month in, you know, loneliness and, you know, disappointment and embarrassment and all kinds of shit. And, you know, so for about a month, I was like, you know, just pretty much paralyzed and crippled by this shit. And I, you know, I was like, you know, when I got sentenced and stuff and I realized I was going to be gone for 2 years, I was real fucking, you know, it was a shock. And, you know, you're scared and, like, you know, people say you're not scared in there. Yeah, they are. Everyone's scared in there. Well, after, you know, some point, it was like, you know, and maybe it was 3 weeks, maybe it was a month. I don't remember, but I got this fucking spark inside me where I was like, hey, I'm at the fucking bottom right now, right? I'm at the fucking bottom. And something for the first time in a very long time like hit me where I realized that I was going to take control of my life. And by the way, you know, now, presently, just so you know, that's where I started, where I'm at today. I've got a sick, just thriving gym on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. You know, it hasn't even been around that long. We've been around for just, you know, while we're pumping, you know, 30 grand a month into that bitch. And, you know, I own a house in California on the beach. I have a beautiful girlfriend who I've been with for the last 4 years, who I'm just madly in love with. I got a great family. I got a good life. So I'm trying to tell you, like, my story is going to basically go from, like, the fucking sewer to where it is now. And, like, you know, I'm still growing. I got a lot of shit I want to do, and that's what keeps me going is that fire. But that fire started in prison. It started with a spark where it was just a realization that I wanted to make something of myself. And just that realization that I was going to start making control and take control of all the choices in every single one of them, in every single way. And when you're locked up, you don't have a lot of choices. There's only a few things that you have control of. But whatever I could have control of, I was going to take full control of it. I was going to take care of my health. I was going to take care of my mind. I was going to take care of the way I treated people. I was going to take care of the way I thought about myself. I was going to take care. I just, you know, ingested and digested as much positiveness as I could possibly get. And that spark turned into a fucking fire. And that fire just fucking took off, and that shit's still going hard. That shit's still going hard. Every day I still feel that stuff, and I never forget, you know, that feeling that I got when I started actually feeling good, and when I actually started, like, believing in myself, and how good that shit felt. And every day when I, you know, when bad things happen, or when, like, you know, I hit, you know, other spots in my life that aren't that great, I always get back to remembering what I gotta do to fucking get out of that shit, and not let that shit fucking take over. And when you bring that kind of energy and that kind of enthusiasm to the gym with you, people want to be around you. They want to train with you. They want to be with you. They want to give you their money so they can spend their time with you. And that's where success comes from. Success comes from, you know, you fucking believing in yourself, you believing in other people, you wanting more for yourself, you wanting more for other people, and them seeing that. And they go, fuck, I want to be around this dude. You know, you don't even got to know shit. You don't even got to, like, know anything, because when I first started as a trainer, I didn't know shit. I didn't know fucking anything. I was just like, I just knew that I wanted to get into it. But that fire was there, and it got me popular in starting locked up, right? So I'm locked up, and my first clients are prisoners. They're not paying me. No, they are kind of like, you know, through commissary and shit like that. But I'm running the workouts in the yard, and, you know, I had about 20, 25 guys that were super fucking committed to me. And I really saw myself changing their lives. And that's really what hit it for me, was that, well, I was like, wow, I'm changing lives in here. So I actually had one dude, Seth Colty, who his idea of getting fit was lying in bed all day, reading Muscle and Fitness magazine and eating power bars. Like, he would just fucking stay in bed all fucking day, like eating power bars and reading Muscle and Fitness. And I'm like, dude, that's not really how you get fit. But anyways, so you know, I'm doing this, you know, thing for, you know, a long time, and I'm growing and I'm getting stronger and I'm locked up and I'm actually having the time of my life. Because when I was out doing the stupid shit, I wasn't happy. I'm locked up now, but I'm enjoying what I'm doing. I'm seeing myself change people. So if you can fucking be happy in prison, and that shit's coming from changing people's lives, like, holy shit, you can be happy anywhere as long as you're growing and as long as you're growing other people, and that shit all works together. It don't matter where you are, what you're doing. You can be in the worst fucking place on earth, and I was actually happy when I was locked up because I was moving forward. Happiness is about progress. Happiness is about moving forward. It doesn't matter where you are. Where you are is irrelevant. It's about moving forward. Forward progress is where happiness comes from. So now as I started getting closer to getting released, I started getting scared. I started getting scared because I didn't know what the fuck I was going to do when I got out. Now, I had that fire, I had that belief in myself, and I had all that kind of stuff going on, but I couldn't like hide from the fact that when I got arrested, the courts took all the money out of my bank accounts, they took my cars, they took my house, they took everything. And everything that they didn't take was stolen, because everybody that was hanging around those days didn't give a fuck about me. So when I got released, I knew that when I was getting released, that I wasn't going to have shit. Literally. No money, no cars, no place to live, no job, a fucking felony, a couple felonies on my record. I'm like, what the fuck? You know what I mean? Like, what am I really going to do? When I got released from prison, I literally had the clothes that were on my back, no fucking lie. That's all I had. That's it. And they'd been in a box for 2 years, and they stunk, and they were wrinkly, and there was fucking dust on them, and it was fucking, they were outdated and shit, like those weren't the styles anymore. It was fucked up. I'm telling you, it was fucked. Now, where am I going to go? The girlfriend that I had when I got locked up, she took off with one of my homeboys, one of my friends, one of the guys I thought was my friends. I didn't have a girlfriend anymore. And there was one person I could call. I'm embarrassed to tell you, I had to call my mom. I think I was like 20, maybe just turned 21 at this point when I got released. And I had to call my mom's up and ask her if I could stay with her for a little while. And, you know, try to figure it out, you know. So here's the thing. I kind of skip past something. I'm going to get back to it. When I was still kind of contemplating when I was locked up about what the fuck I was going to do, you know, my dad would come visit me. And he was like, yo, listen, like, you know, you're obviously, you know, like into this and you're great at what you do. How about, you know, become a trainer? So he planted the seed in my head to become a coach and to become a trainer. And, you know, to basically like, so you have something to do when you get out. You're like, you might not have nowhere to go. You might have no money. You might, you know, be like fucked in a lot of ways. In fact, I didn't have no money. I owed like $20,000 in court fees and shit. I was in debt. I was like in $20,000 in the hole. Like, you have no idea. And I had to go to these other arraignments and shit for like probation violation bullshit I was dealing with in other counties that I used to have to take the train to get to and have to borrow money to get on these courts that I couldn't even look for a job, right? But I could. I made it happen. I went out there and I looked for a fucking job like within short order. And the first two places that I looked, I got hired. And I got hired wearing shitty, old, dirty, fucking non-job hunting looking type of clothes. I got hired in two different gyms. The first gym I got hired at was a hoity-toity tennis club that was really fucking hard for me to go to because, you know, these hoity-toity tennis clubs are full of all these really, like, rich, wealthy people and all these, like, rich, wealthy kids. And, you know, I had this, like, you know, coming out of the prison system where everyone treated me like shit for, like, a long period of time and you're made to feel like a piece of shit. So I had to fucking hold my head up high, and I had to let nobody know fucking about, you know, anything other than the fact that I'm a fucking badass, and I'm the guy you need to be with, and that's what I did. And holy shit, you know, I'm not actually telling the story, you might be going like, oh man, poor guy, I don't want you guys to fucking think that. Because I was actually happy. It's like I was telling you when I was happy and I was in prison, I'm happy now. I was fucking happy about it. I was happy because I was earning a living. I was happy because I had a place to go. I was happy because I had my freedom back. I was happy because I had someone in my life who was able to fucking, like, you know, help me out to fucking get through this hard time. And I had a vehicle to go there. So I was happy. But it was tough. I'm trying to tell you that it was tough. Like, there were realities of things that I had to fucking fight through with a lot of courage You know, and I'm proud to say that, you know, I did it. So I worked there, but that was a bullshit job. That one really didn't like do much other than like, at least it kind of like gave me something, you know, to do, a little bit of money to make. My other job that I got was where I worked in the evenings, and it was Spa Fitness. Spa Fitness is like a gym like Bally's or 24 Hour Fitness in Santa Cruz. It's a small chain just in Santa Cruz. And it's actually the gym where Greg Glassman, the founder of CrossFit, started when he first moved to Santa Cruz from Los Angeles. When Greg first moved from Los Angeles to Santa Cruz, he got hired, his first job at Spa Fitness as a trainer there, and he ended up getting fired for training people with, you know, a bunch of shit that's going to get him hurt. So I'm working there, and it's cool. Like, I'm showing up. You know how I got to work? I had to borrow a bike from my dad. This is like a 1974 fucking 10-speed piece of shit, ugliest thing you've ever seen. And the handlebars on it, literally, were all stripped where you screwed them in, so it just shook and rattled and rolled. And I'd be like fucking going like 20-mile bike rides from my mom's house in Aptos all the way across town Santa Cruz to get to Spa Fitness, like shaking on my bike and shit at 4:30 in the fucking morning and shit. And I'd be so embarrassed because, like, you know, carloads of girls would be, like, driving along to get to the beach, like, girls I went to high school with and shit. And I would just throw my fucking hoodie on and put my earphones on so no one could see me because I was embarrassed. And I would fucking, like, just get to work. Fucking, but in my head, when I'm listening to that music, and in my head, when I got my shit covered up and I'm fucking feeling myself get fucking pumped from this bike ride, I was just dream building. I was just thinking about what this job's going to take me to next. I know that it's not where I want to be, but I'm moving forward, and what's going to be next? I was putting my money away and, you know, saving everything I could. And I was actually like, I would love those bike rides, except for when the girls passed me up. But like, I loved those bike rides because it was actually like a time for me. By the time I got to work, I was so fucking pumped that I was just ready to fucking unload everything about how I felt on everybody else. And it worked. Within like a very short period of time, I don't know if it was like a couple of months or 5 months, but it was like probably a couple of months, I was running the personal training business there because nobody else wanted to train with anybody but me. And literally, all the other trainers were fucking hated me because every single time someone wanted to sign up for personal training, they had to give it to me because I was the person they were asking for. I was working, you know, 60 hours a week, private training, you know, which is a lot better rate. You know, I was like, it wasn't a lot for my standards now and shit, but like back then when I was gotten, you know, just, you know, a year off the joint, I mean, less, you know, I'm making $60 an hour, 60 days a week, and I'm fucking, it's all out of my heart. And I didn't know really no shit. This is during my educational process of actually becoming a trainer. This is like 12, 13 years ago, 14 years ago, something like that. And this is when I'm learning about what fitness really is, you know, and I'm like heading in the right path because I'm interested in fucking heavy squats and clean and jerks and snatches and fucking training with intensity. So I'm learning about this stuff and trying to fucking implement it into a Globo style gym, you know. And, but I'm running the show and it's fucking cool and I'm feeling like king shit and I'm actually feeling pretty good. Nowhere near where I want to be because I'm still parking my bike 3 blocks away from the gym so the fucking girls that worked at the front desk didn't see what I was fucking pushing. And that was some cool shit though. That was a fucking big thing in my life, you know.
So I've
trained myself, getting myself as fit as I fucking could. You know, I'm putting together my own workouts. I'm learning from, you know, Louis Simmons and fucking all the guys, and I'm trying to fucking figure out what's going on, and I'm squatting and I'm sprinting and I'm fucking carrying sad bags up fucking hills and I'm pushing tires, and every day I'm just fucking training and training and training, and I'm working and I'm working and I'm working and I'm fucking loving it. And one day I'm out at one of my hills that, like, where I graduated high school. There's like these big old hills behind it. Sun always beating down on it. It's like dirty ass steep fucking hills with trails running up it with fucking yellow weeds and shit. And I'd go out there in the mornings and, you know, fucking sprint up them and do burpees and fucking carry sandbags up them and do fucking squats or whatever. And I'm out there one day and there's this kid and he's like a couple of trails down and he's running up and doing sprints and running up and doing burpees and running up and doing sprints and running up and doing burpees. And so we end up, you know, coming up to each other and getting to know each other. His name's Jason Heibarger, and he's Greg Glassman's very first original CrossFit coach. In fact, when Greg got fired from Spa Fitness, Jason fucking quit Spa Fitness because they fired him and said, fuck you. I know you're jobless, but you're a fucking amazing person and the way you speak is incredible. And I'm fucking following you wherever the fuck you go. And they were both jobless together. And they both scrambled together. And he had a big reason why the original CrossFit gym started in Santa Cruz. This is really shortly after that. I'm on the hills. I meet him. And Jason's about this tall. And he's like about this fucking thick. And he's got these wolf-like eyes and a big smile. And he's cool as shit. And he talks. And he talks my language. He's talking about shit that I love. And between the two of us, I've got a new best friend. I'm like, fuck, I found my boy. And that was a big deal for me to actually be around somebody who was tough. Somebody who'd been there and done that, and someone who was fucking on a positive track with their life, who was doing cool shit, and I was like, I got someone that I can fucking relate to, and it was a great thing, and having a best friend like that is fucking awesome. So, he's like, talking about CrossFit this and CrossFit that, and, you know, I'm hearing it, and like, you know, the word CrossFit wasn't really registering so much, it was just really him that I was attracted to, you know, not like that. So anyways, what happens next? The next day or something like that, this is so fucking long ago, I'm trying to fucking speak. So he rolls up, yeah, it's the next day, and he comes in with the fucking flyer. We're on the hills again. I remember that. I remember getting the flyer, and there's a big old picture of Pukey the Clown and about a fucking one-page printed write-up about what CrossFit was. And it was written so well. It was like everything that I wanted to read, everything that I wanted to hear. I was like, it was like purpose for me. It was direction. It was like a new path. It was like I was like learning from this and I was learning from that. But like now there's something about what I read about this style of life, about this style of fitness, about this style of training that just really like sunk into my soul and my heart and my mind. And I was like, okay, I want to meet the dude who wrote this shit, and I want to meet him right now, and I want to just hang out with him every single day and just never leave. And that's what happened. That night, I drove to, I had a car at this point, I drove to CrossFit and met Greg and Lauren. They were, Greg and Lauren Glassman, that's his wife, was his wife, and they started it together, and there was a couple of middle school kids there working out with them, and they're doing pull-ups and, you know, working out, and they were fucking busting Slayer out on the fucking radio and shit. I'm like, yeah, this is cool, you know. So after the session was up, me and Greg got to down to talking, and I just fucking fell in love with this man. Like, I was just like, dude, you're gonna be my mentor. Like, this is, I got a best friend and I got a mentor now. And I was like, what's next? And he says, show up tomorrow at 6 a.m. And I'm gonna work you out. You show up ready to work out, and fucking I'm gonna throw down with you, and we're gonna see what's up. And I'm like, all right. So I come in the next morning, and when he starts talking to me, he's like, now he's training me. So I'm getting trained by him, and I was just like in fucking heaven. Like, I was just shaking with excitement. He's teaching me things that I never knew about before. Everything that I was reading about, I actually had somebody now that fucking knew this shit and knew it well. And they were just like speaking it to me and teaching it to me. And he has this like real strong impact and ability to make you want to impress him. And that's a great thing about a coach, is like being somebody who, when you're around them, they just want to impress you. They just want to show off for you. And that's what he did. He has a really strong way of making you just want to fucking impress the shit out of them. Like, you're like, I want to show you what I can do. And I don't know how to teach you to do that. But you need to figure it out, because if you can make people just want to be around you so they can impress you, like, that's what you got to do. Greg was like that. That's why he's so, one of the reasons why he's so successful. Everybody that's around him just wants to fucking make him happy. It's always why I say he's an asshole too. So I spent the next, couple of years living at that gym. And, you know, in the process, I quit the other job and was working full-time for Glassman, the original CrossFit gym. There's a small pack of trainers. I don't know if you guys are super familiar with CrossFit, but Annie Sakamoto and Eva Tredokins and Greg Amundsen and Rob Miller and, you know, Nicole Carroll. We were like just a posse, you know, Jason Heibarger and family. And we turned that gym into something like, you know, I haven't yet been able to really duplicate yet, and that's my goal. But we had a little tiny box It was like not even 2,000 square feet. And it was spaced shitty because there was pillars and shit in the way, so it was really hard to make do with what we had. But every motherfucking town wanted to train with us. I would roll up and, you know, look for parking in this big commercial district where there's like tons of empty streets and shit and places to park, and you couldn't find parking for this little tiny box. There was classes with like 60, 70, 80 people in them. And when the classes were changing over from one class to the next, it was like, forget about it. Like, you couldn't even park. And you couldn't pack it in. And this is great. In the weekends, we're traveling. We're going to, you know, different cities all over the country and world even. So every weekend, we're gone doing certifications, teaching people about CrossFit. We're getting recognized in airports because we're putting out so many videos and shit. Like, literally, we'd laugh because every time we went to an airport somewhere, crowds of people would want to come, but they want to, like, take pictures and shit. I was like, what the fuck just happened to my life? Like, literally fucking, like, a year and a half ago, I was fucking in prison, scared for my life. Now I'm traveling the world, traveling the country, getting paid fucking tons of money, loving what I do, full of excitement, just pumped beyond belief. It was ridiculous. My whole life went from fucking the absolute bottom that you could fucking possibly imagine to like the top, just feeling fucking good. I'm talking money. I'm talking loving what you do. I'm talking getting freedom, time. I had it all. I was just fucking loving it. And it happened in such a short period of time that I was still remembering all the old times, so I was able to appreciate this shit like you wouldn't believe. And what got me there was my fucking undying commitment. It was that fucking electricity that pulsed through me. It was that love for what I did. It was that not selling out. It was everything that fucking Zach talks about by living by the code. All that shit that got bullet pointed is my life. And so all good things kind of end up having to fucking change and, you know, diversify a little bit. What ended up happening that ended that sort of like era of my life, that was a real, you know, one of the higher points for sure, was we outgrew everything so much that, you know, we just couldn't fit in there. I mean, literally, you know, people were charging $150 to $200 an hour for private training. And I'd be showing up with my private training clients and I'm like having to fucking go outside into the parking lot with them with like a medicine ball because like there's no equipment and there's no space inside the gym. Like, that's how it was. So we're just like, kind of like, no one was like not liking each other. We're all great friends, but it was a lot of like, you know, space issues and stuff. So we had to start our own shit. So I had some money put away and, you know, I was able to save. I've always been pretty good about saving my money. And, I had a bunch of money put away and I decided to start a gym up in northern Santa Cruz, CrossFit North Santa Cruz, my first gym. You know, I'm, you know, young 20s. And I'm like, I got a couple of dudes at the gym that were really good buddies of mine that wanted to fucking partner up and do it. This was stupid. Now we're about ready to fucking hit a low point. We fucking young, thought we were king shit, had some money, had a lot of people that wanted to train with us, and this is what we did. You might want to fucking take a note and never fucking doing this shit. So I end up fucking going in and we find this fucking 8,000 square foot facility with another 2,000 square feet of office space. And we all fucking like write a check. Initial buying cost to be a partner, $35,000. So we all write a check for 35 G's, fucking put it into the pot, start putting together the list of the things that we need. We're getting fucking a throwdown to like hook up the fucking UFC deal. We're getting like platforms with all their own shit. We're raising ceilings. We're putting in showers. We're making everything pretty. We burned through that fucking initial money so fucking fast, even before the build out was done. Now we needed to get guys to come in and like do a build out for us. Now I'm fucking like pulling out more money and more money. By the time that shit opened, I was like broke. I didn't care though. I was like, fucking got the sickest gym you've ever seen, and I'm gonna fucking be like just making that money back tenfold because it's my gym now. It didn't really work out that way. I brought a ton of people with me. All of my private clients came, handful of others and stuff, but everybody was committed to all the gym in general. It wasn't just all about me and shit. I didn't ever think it was, you know, but we opened up the doors with a big fucking bill. And next thing you know, fucking like, you know, $5,000-$7,000 a month rent plus this, that, and the other, coupled with, you know, whatever else expenses, like we're like breaking even. You were split it up between three partners, all this kind of shit for like about 7-8 months. We're not making no money. Like, I'm working now. Now I'm working 12, you know, 13, 14, 15 hours a day, more than I was working before, and I'm not even getting paid. Now, I'm not getting paid. I'm talking, like, not getting paid. And I got, you know, my bills to pay at the house. I got my car payments, and I got fucking this bill and that bill. Next thing you know, after, like, you know, that shit goes by quick. You know, living, fucking breathing, traveling, fucking eating. It's fucking money starts disappearing now. Now I go from fucking having all this money and, you know, moving in the right, not as much money as I wanted, you know, but moving in the right direction to now I'm not getting paid and I fucking keep having to fucking pull costs out and shit. And in a short period of time, I'm fucking living off my fucking credit card. Because I had to. You know, I got a house on the beach and shit. Like, my expenses aren't cheap. And I'm like fucking going fucking broke. And I'm going in debt. And I'm not sleeping at night. What the fuck just happened, right? I'm like, holy shit. And now I'm like thinking, okay, now I'm more stressed out than I was when I was in the joint. And I'm telling you why. Because at least in the joint, I had nowhere to go but up. And I didn't have a fucking lot of choices. The choices that I had to make were fucking a lot easier. It was like fucking this or that, good or bad, right or wrong. Now it's like, what the fuck do I do? You know what I mean? Like, I can't pay this bill. My fucking credit cards are gonna fucking cut me off. I'm using one credit card to pay off of another. Like, it was bullshit. I'm not sleeping. I'm stressed out. I'm not nice to be around. And, you know, I'm trying to keep that fire fucking going. Now, I'm fit. I'm working out really hard. And I've been able to make really good friends over the course of these years that I've been CrossFitting for. Make the fucking right friends. Get in with the right people. Be around exceptional fucking people. There's people out there that inspire you. If there's people out there that fucking get your shit rolling, I want you to fucking email them, call them, get to know them, go to their certification, become their friend. Surround yourself in exceptional people. Because exceptional, I'm not talking about just successful people. I'm talking about people that are successful and kind and good friends and care about you. And how do you get them to want to be around you? By you being a fucking exceptional person. By you being the type of person that goes out there and fucking kicks ass on the daily. And these kind of fucking people just want to be around you. You'll surprise yourself if you go out there and you just fucking kick ass every fucking day, that all of a sudden people out there that you look up to start looking up to you back. Well, anyways, Tony Blauer, I don't know if you guys know who Tony is. He runs Spear Systems and Blauer Tactical, wildly successful businessman, badass, always been a hero of mine because I used to read martial arts magazines when I was little and shit, and he was always on the cover of them. And him and I ended up becoming really good friends through CrossFit. He found out who I was and my training style. I've always known who he was. He came out to visit me one time at my gym, and we just fucking, it was over since. We were just like fucking buddies. So, I head out, this is like 2007 or something, 2008, and I go to compete at the CrossFit Games, and Tony comes in, you know, he's there for it, and we're just like fucking stuck to each other like glue the entire time. And Allison's there too. That's actually one of the first times that I met her. She was looking beautiful. We weren't together at that time, but I was definitely all about her. So Tony comes out, and, you know, I'm just competing that weekend. You know, I'm not even fucking thinking about my business or any of the fucking stress that I got in my life. I'm just there to train and work out and fucking kick ass. And at the end of the weekend, Tony and I go to out to dinner. We go to get some sushi on Sunday night after the games was over. We drove back to Santa Cruz and went to a spot, him and his son, Nick, who's a fucking little badass too. And we're sitting down, and I'm telling him now, you know, about what's going on, and, you know, things are kind of fucked, and I'm not getting along with my partners, and I'm kind of getting fucking shitty deal at the end of things and stuff like that and whatnot. The reason why, you know, things weren't working is, like, you guys got to fucking, if you're going to partner up with somebody, don't fucking do it over fucking handshakes and beers. Like, you want to fucking write that shit out. I don't care how good of friends you are or how successful or how many people are going to show up. It causes fucking problems if you don't have that shit dialed down straight from the fucking beginning. In fact, if you're really good friends with somebody, you might want to really think hard about going into business with them, because it will tear shit up. I'm telling you, I'm a good dude. Those were good dudes, and we just ended up fucking not feeling it, and it was fucking bad. And to this day, we don't talk to each other. Well, anyways. Yeah. So listen up. So Tony and I are talking and stuff, and he's like, "Yo, I got this fucking Spear PDR, personal defense readiness camp going on in Virginia Beach next month in August. And I want you to come out, and I want you to be one of my presenters. and I want you to run some workouts for our guys. I got some UFC fighters are coming out, and he's also going to be a cool show. Greg Glassman's coming out. He's going to be presenting there. It'll be fun. You can fucking spend the weekend, you know, working with me, hanging out and stuff. He's like, I got some business stuff that I want to talk to you about as well. I'm like, cool. Let's do this. So I fly out to Virginia Beach the next month. They put me up in a nice hotel and shit, and I checked in, and that night Glassman and Tony come by my place, and they've been drinking, and fucking next thing we're out drinking and we're having a good time, the boys and I out and shit, and next morning I'm supposed to be, me and Greg are supposed to meet up in the lobby and head out to the gym. He sends me a text saying he's running a few minutes late because he's at the airport picking somebody up. And I'm like, who are you picking up? And he's like, Allison NYC. And I was like, fuck yeah. Like, fucking now this is going to be a great weekend because I got in love with this girl and she's showing up and I'm pumped about it. So she comes rolling up with her. And, like, you know, that's how Allison and I met. We spent that weekend together with each other, and that really changed my life. It was phenomenal. So now we do the weekend, and the end of it, Tony's like, listen, you need to get out of the business you're in. You just need to, he says, you're fucking working nonstop. It's an endless cycle. These guys aren't listening to you. Because really what's been going on for a long period of time is we've just been butting heads month after week, month after month, day after day. It was just nonstop and it was going nowhere. And I was driving myself further and further in debt. I just had to fucking get out. So he says, look, I'm going to teach you. He says, we're going to start a company out here in Virginia Beach, you and I, CrossFit Combatives. And he says, I don't know exactly what it's going to be yet. He's like, well, we're going to take my shit, and we're going to take your shit, and we're going to blend our shit together, and it's going to be fucking badass shit. And we go, I'm like, all right, cool. He's like, what about CrossFit NSC? He says, well, you know, let's work out, you know, getting you bought out of your company. So make a long story short, I flew back to Santa Cruz and spent a couple of months negotiating the sale of my end of CrossFit NSC. And I didn't get what I initially asked for, but I got a nice chunk of change. I got a pretty good amount of money. And basically, I was no longer in debt. I had a good chunk of change in my bank account, but I had no job, no gym anymore, and didn't really know what the fuck I was going to do. I'm like, okay, but it's good. At least I fucking have a clean slate right now, and I can start scratching. I got Tony out on the East Coast ready for me to rock and roll. I literally packed my shit up into my truck, everything that I needed, and I just gave away everything that I didn't want anymore. And I just started driving across the country. And it was the coolest fucking feeling I ever have. I've got to tell you, like, to drive across the country, to know you're, like, not going to come back across the country, kind of like just hitting the open road, you know, by yourself, like, ready to go, like, enter this new life. It's called taking fucking chances. You got to take chances. If things aren't right, you've got to take fucking chances, because if you believe in the chance you're taking and you trust that what you were doing wasn't right and what you're going to be doing is right, even if it's not known yet and it's not quite certain and there's a little bit of fear there, you got to fucking do it. I don't care how big it is. I've taken chances my whole life and I always end up on top because I always fucking believe in what I'm doing. Like, you've got to put yourself there. Like, you literally, you know, you sold your fucking company. You've got no job. You got enough money to live for a little while, but not really. And now you're driving across the fucking country with your shit in a car. Like, that's crazy, right? So I do it. And I fly in Allison when I get to Phoenix so we could do the trip together. And it was a great trip. Did I knock this mic off? No, it's still there. All right, so we stopped at every CrossFit along the way. We took like a 12-day trip. It's like 4 days across the country. But we spent like 12 days hitting all the cities up, going to all the hot spots, going to all the CrossFit gyms, having a great time. I dropped her off in New York. We spent a couple days with each other, and I knew that when I drove away that I didn't want to be driving away from her. I knew that I wanted her to be with me. There was just something, the chemistry was right. It was just the right thing. Like, I met the woman that I needed to be with the rest of my life, and I had that feeling as I left. So I drive down to Virginia Beach, and where am I on time right now? Am I just going right the fuck over? I'll start speeding things up a little bit. So I go down to Virginia Beach, and me and Tony are hooking up, And he's like, yo, I'm going to fucking introduce you to some fucking of the biggest fucking ballers you ever met. Some fucking serious businessmen. I'm talking dudes that are pushing billions of dollars every year in their companies and all this shit. He says, I'm going to fucking get you in understanding about real fucking guys that actually know what the fuck they're doing. He says, they're going to love you. He says, they're going to see your passion. They're going to see your commitment. He says, they're going to want to fucking invest in you. They're going to want to work with you. They're going to want to partner up with you. And I'm like getting all pumped and shit. I'm like, yeah, real businessman. So I kind of like speeding things up to some extent. I end up meeting these guys, Rob Nicholson and Luke Hillier. And they run Virginia Beach. Like literally, these guys have like jets that they own. They have like multiple like private jets. They got fucking palaces all over the country. Yachts and shit like in different areas of the world. Like I'm talking real money, billions of dollar kind of money. And I meet them at the gym. It's a 20,000 square foot mega facility. It's fucking got the octagon in it. It's got fucking Throwdown sponsored everything. It's just sick and ridiculous. There's 20 GHDs. There's like 40 rowers. It's this badass fucking facility. And I meet him there and worked him out, worked out with him, spent a couple hours with these guys. And I knew that these were the guys that I had to impress. I said, here's my opportunity to impress guys that I need to have on my side. And I did it. I fucking went in there and I fucking crushed it. And I gave them the fucking best couple hours of their lives within a gym. They'd never spent a better fucking 2 hours in their entire lives in a gym fucking ever. And that was my goal going into it. I'm going to fucking give these guys the best fucking time in a gym they've ever had in their lives. And I did that. And that night, Tony called me up and he said, dude, I don't know what you fucking did, but these guys are both so fucking pumped on CrossFit and so fucking pumped on training with you. They're trying to figure out a way to make sure that you don't leave Virginia Beach. They didn't know me from Adam. You got to take it from their perspective. They didn't really know what my deal was. They just met me. They don't know. They just know that I came out from California. So in their heads, they're thinking, how the fuck can I keep this guy in Virginia Beach? That's how fucking good of a job you have to do with people when you meet people like that. Or understanding your circumstances. It's not always just meeting the right, those rich people. It's meeting the right people. And since Tony believed in them, I believed in them. So, long story short, they put me in charge of training their company's people. They had like thousands of employees and shit. And I was like basically trained. This was like not, this wasn't what we, our company that we were going to start. This was like basically to keep me there so I was earning money. They gave me a fucking huge fucking paycheck every single month. Huge paycheck. Huge. Every month to literally train like 3 hours a day. And the rest of my time was occupied strategizing with these dudes about what we were actually going to do. And these business trips that we were taking were on fucking jets and in yachts. We spent the weekends in Costa Rica. We spent the weekends in the Dominican Republic. We spent the weekends in the Virgin Islands. And we'd be like, I was just like, I couldn't fucking believe it. I'm like, in these private jets with these fucking big timers who are fucking billionaires and shit. And we're like, I mean, they're like interested in fucking starting a company with me. And I'm like, holy shit, I want to become a fucking billionaire. Like, seriously, that's how I felt. I was like, man, you are flying around on a jet and fucking hanging out on yachts on the weekends with dudes that want to go in business with you. You start thinking that way. So, this is what happened. I spent a few, 6, 7, 8 months like this, living the high life. Like, money wasn't a problem. I live in a new area. Me and Tony are fucking tight, hanging out every single day. Allison moved down to Virginia Beach and she's living with me. I got the girl of my dreams with me. I'm spending the weekends in different countries surfing and shit. I'm loving life. Like, I'm just loving what I do. I'm fucking digging it. And I'm staying fucking true to fucking everything that I believe in. Because I never forget where the fuck I came from. I still remember. I'm not like in the jets going, oh yeah, no, I fucking did go to prison. I did do stupid shit. I did grow up trash and I did grow up fucking with problems. And I'm fucking not perfect. And I know that shit. And I understand that shit. And I'll always remember that shit. And I just appreciate the good times so fucking much. I can't even tell you. So, this is what ends up happening here. Because this is a story that kind of became pretty public. But these guys who were my friends ended up slowly not becoming my friends. There's some legal stuff here that I can't get into, but I'm going to tell you that basically, I'm just going to fucking the bare bone stuff. Like I don't need to get super into the details. Long story short, these guys didn't want to run the program the way it was meant to be run. I believe in teaching and training people a certain way. I believe in fucking lifting fucking heavy, going crazy, fucking having fun, you know, making it fucking like, you know, making your gym like professional and together and got everything in straight. But at the end of the day, you have a fucking fun fucking place to live where you love the people you're around, and the training's fucking hard, and the training's fucking, and it doesn't sell out. Well, these guys wanted to sell out. That was the problem. These guys wanted to fucking take out the lifts out of the program. They wanted it to become just a strictly boot camp body weight workout. Yeah, they did take it out. They were telling me the things I could say and the things I couldn't say when I trained. I was no longer like allowed to speak from my heart when I trained people. And I was now making money and I was living a good life, but I wasn't believing in anything that I was teaching people, and I had to fucking talk about things that I didn't necessarily fucking like very much, and it was making my life miserable. It was making Allison's life miserable because we didn't believe it. And people within my community knew it, and it didn't make me feel good the direction that I was going.
And that's one of the problems of having so many partners is you get voted out. So you can't
be there
if they're
going to
go into.
Her and I, we would go to meetings with each other, and literally it was like we might as well not even showed up. Because there was a voting process between like the four other people that were involved, and everything that I fucking wanted to bring to the table, everything that I wanted to change or everything that I liked, we just got voted out. And everything that they voted in were things that were so fucking lame that I was just like, what the fuck, you know, it was just stupid. So I was miserable. I didn't like it. It was funny because I actually was actually able to fucking live a great life, but because I wasn't doing what I liked to do, I wasn't having fun anymore. And I didn't have any integrity. I did have integrity. I did. But I was going down the route that if I chose to keep doing that, then I wouldn't have. And I didn't want to not have any integrity. So we found out, this is kind of like a lucky thing that happened, but there was an email chain that was going on amongst the partners, the guys that I was involved with, me and my partners. And they were having a private email chain without me that ended up getting forwarded to me on accident. I got fucking lucky. Luke Hillier, or one of them, I can't remember which one was to who. We need to fire Brendan because he's earning way too fucking much money and the motherfucker's giving me a headache talking about all his lifting and all of this and all of that shit. The other guy that fucking wrote back to him, you can't fire Brendan, he's too well known in the CrossFit community. What are we going to do to get rid of him? Let's just make his life so fucking miserable that he quits on his own. We'll muscle him out. And then, ha, 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 yeah, that'll fucking work. When should we start this? That's what I'm reading. I'm like, fuck, these guys are either going to fire me or muscle me out. That's how miserable it got. I read that. The next day, I show up at the gym, and Luke comes up to me and goes, hey, bro, I'm taking a fucking trip to Costa Rica this weekend. Let's go. Trying to fucking, like, be my bro and fucking hang out with me. That's how, like, conniving and snake-like these fucking guys are. Like, literally fucking throwing their arms around me, like, let's go fucking surf in Costa Rica this weekend. And they're fucking talking shit behind my fucking back. I caught them. And I had to fucking pulled up this excuse, like, oh, I'm busy this weekend or whatever. But it's just like, it felt like a snake was fucking slithering over my neck. And I'm like, what am I going to do? The fucking equipment that was in that gym, we needed to get that shit. Because what would happen is if I fucking told these guys that we were going to take our equipment and go start our own gym, you know what they would have done? They would have locked the fucking doors on us and put up adverse possession fucking like clauses and said, okay, yeah, you could eventually get your equipment back, but not until you fucking go through our lawyers. And we're going to keep running business and shit. We knew that. We talked to the CrossFit lawyers about the entire thing. And basically, you know, it came down to if you don't take this equipment out in the middle of the fucking night when no one's looking, you're not going to get it back for about 2 years. And what am I going to do for 2 years without fucking all my equipment and all those fucking places to train? I wouldn't be able to fucking pull it off. So I had to get fucking gangster with it. And I knew that a fucking chain had to fucking make. Yeah, I'm not kidding you. I'm not fucking joking with you. Allison and I fucking go down. We drive a Porsche down to fucking Miami to the fucking affiliate gathering. Meet up with Glassman. I picked up 2 tickets on the way down, flying like fucking 105. And fucking just pumping, ready to rock and roll. We locked it down with the lawyers. We locked it down with Glassman, figured out what we were going to do. Got back to Virginia Beach and roll up in there, spend the entire week playing shit off like, yeah, everything's great, everything's fine, you know, training people, smiling at people, fucking, what's up, Luke, what's up, Rob, how you doing? Come Sunday morning, we come rolling up at fucking like 6 o'clock in the morning with two fat Penske trucks, 15, 20 Navy SEALs. We jumped out and fucking unloaded that motherfucking gym in about 20 minutes and drove the fuck off to say, fuck you! And it was sick. So we're like, now it was like, what the fuck are we going to do now? You know? And so we just started driving to New York City. That's where her family's from and shit. We just started driving. We got to get the fuck out of Virginia Beach. Everyone's going to think we stole this shit. Because we weren't able to tell anybody what we were doing. So for a minute, everyone was going to think that we actually stole this equipment, even though it fucking, you know, belonged to us in CrossFit and shit. So, but, you know, nobody knew that. Nobody knew whose equipment was what. It was just, you know, what was there. So. We're all about making a ton of money, don't get us wrong, but we want to make money doing the shit that we believe in. We want both. So we go to New York, and we lie low for a few days up there. Our fucking phones, our emails, fucking going nuts. You fucking, what the hell, fuck you thieves, you this, you that, fucking Luke, we're gonna fucking send you to jail, fucking all this kind of stuff. But what was really fucking cool about that experience was we found out who all our friends really were. Half the fucking people were like, fuck you. And other half of the people were like, yo, dude, I know you better than that. You know what I mean? And all the people that were like, yo, you're my friend. I know you wouldn't steal that equipment. I want to hear the story about what really happened. We just weeded out all the fucking lame asses in our life just in one fucking shot. And we had a fucking nice, fat crew of real down motherfuckers that understand that fucking doing shit by your fucking heart and doing things with integrity was what it's all about. And there was a lot of people out there that didn't go that route. And I swear to God, those people were just fucking Luke Hillier and Rob Nicholson fucking kiss asses who brown nose these motherfuckers. These guys walk around with like entourages of little brown nose motherfuckers who just want to get their money and shit. So as soon as like we did something like that, they ran towards Luke. But we had a fucking fat crew of badass motherfuckers. 7 days later, we opened up our own box on ourselves. We were up in New York for a few days. We drove back down to VB. We decided we were going to come back to VB to open up our gym because we weren't going to do it anywhere else because we wanted to show everybody that we were down there that we were committed to them and it had nothing to do with them at all. It didn't have to do with anything about fucking bailing. It didn't have anything to do with doing anything that was wrong. It was because we wanted to fucking provide and make a gym for people the way that we believed in it. So we went down to Virginia Beach and in fucking 7 days later, we signed the papers on a fucking place. We fucking opened up a 5,000 square foot facility. Nice little humble spot compared to what we had before, but it was all we needed. Offices, bathrooms, bare bones, nothing, no paint on the walls, nothing. And we just fucking put our equipment in there, opened up for business. And that fucking morning at 5:30, you know, 25 fucking people at 5:30 a.m., 20 people at noon, you know, packed evening, fucking all our people just fucking signing checks straight directly to us. We're making money. Our fucking bills are getting paid. Everything's on us, and we're fucking loving life. This is the first time now that we got a gym. It's just Allison and I, no partners, nobody else. We're running a show. We got started with a lot of haste. We got started with, you know, it had to happen so quickly that, like, you know, we were scrambling at first to just try to put things in place and, you know, put all our business systems and shit in place. You know, we had to kind of just go grassroots for a while, but we pulled it off. Now, we weren't in Virginia Beach because that's my home, or that's Allison's home, or that's where we wanted to be. We were down there for the people, for the community, for like, you know, like to finish what we started. But, you know, I'm from California. And I moved to Virginia Beach to work with Tony. Tony got muscled out of that company. I left that part out of the story, but the reason why Tony and I weren't working with each other when I moved out there was because Luke and Rob muscled him out. They said, oh, you brought Brennan out here, what the fuck do we need you for? They basically muscled him out. That was another problem. There's a lot of problems, but that was another one of them. So we were in Virginia Beach, and kicking ass with our business, packed house, making money, fucking the community's good. Every time we threw a party, fucking everybody would show up. Like, we had it going on. But we weren't happy there. So it was time to fucking move to New York City. And we always wanted to live in New York. We spent about a year and a half down in VB. And now just recently moved to New York. Where I'm at today is I own a gym on the Upper East Side that's fucking ripping it up. I got a fucking killer house and apartment in Brooklyn, right by the water on the East River. Beautiful spot with my girl. We got our family. Allison's side of the family's there. Every day I'm pumped. Every day I'm stoked. I love going to work, make a ton of money, run a killer program. It keeps growing more and more every single day. I'm exactly where I want to be. I can go home and visit my family in California whenever I want. Everything's fucking good. So the point is my life goes up, my life goes down, it goes up, it goes down. But I have always done things with integrity. I've always done things with honor. I've always, if I end up in a fucked up situation, I get the fuck out of it. And it comes down at the end of the day. Like, I'm not Mr. Business Model Guy. Don't fucking ask me any questions about fucking putting systems in place. I just go in and I fucking kick ass. I just go in and love what I do. I just go in and people show the fuck up. And I make sure that when they're fucking paying me that they get fucking every fucking penny's worth. I charge a fucking high rate. My membership rate's $275 a month. I get it all fucking day long because I fucking provide that good of a product. I go, what do I charge? I'm going to give them that good of a product. That's how you fucking roll. You got to go in there and freaking kick ass. When it comes to being a trainer, don't think it's like, oh, I'm a personal trainer or, oh, I'm a coach. I think the job is just as fucking important, or not more important than being a fucking doctor. You can be as good or as bad as you want to be at it. But as a coach and a trainer to your clients, you have the ability to change their lives, change their health. What do doctors do? You go in with fucking pain and they're like, here's some Vicodin and a muscle relaxer. They come to us with pain and we fix them. Learn to fix people. Learn to rehab them. Learn to make them better athletes. Learn everything you fucking possibly can about nutrition. Make yourself a fucking doctor in all those facets of what we do, and you are worth fucking $250 an hour for private training. And yes, your gym's fucking worth $275, $300 a month for a membership. Because you're not just fucking counting reps and fucking liking the shit. You actually not only fucking know what's right, you know how to do what's right. You know the specifics of your training, and you do it with charisma, and you do it with passion, and you do it with fire. You got all that shit fucking put around you. But just stay up. Time for me to get off now. It's not? Well, I mean, that's fucking it right there. Fucking booyah. I'm done.
He's a warrior. That's it. And when I told you that he's been through a lot of ups and downs, I didn't know the full thing, but a couple things really stand out in my mind when B is talking, going back to when he was in prison, and I resonate a lot with that because my younger brother was spent time in prison, and that was also a tough time for him and for me. But I think where, heart to heart with you guys, is that he never let go of his physical training. He represents what he does. I've never seen this guy, like, he walks, he's like the epitome of like what a fucking gladiator looks like. He had no car, he rode a shitty bike 20 miles to work, and then whatever, ran the rest. He had no money, he was running hills, he was outside training. And he walks the talk, and he lives the code. And as coaches, we see more and more that coaches are not doing that. You're letting go of yourself physically. And when you let go of yourself physically, you lose this. And when you lose this, you won't succeed. And I won't lie, I got a crazy busy schedule. And when we moved down to the beach and I started traveling more, I started scheduling my workouts for at the gym later on at night. You listen to B, you wake up, he's riding his bike. He's outside. He's fucking running hill sprints. And I had to turn around my commitment too. The most important thing you do is represent who you are, what you do. Did he ever fall out of shape? He went to prison. He became fucking badass and contributed. He helped other people. He never stopped being a coach. He always trained. He did the physical training, very intense, which is, I think, the meditation. You know, it's like your, you know, it's like your yoga. And he never, look at the guy, he never let it slip. And what I do a lot now is, and, you know, it became kind of like a code with some of the guys that were in the small group, is that pretty much 90% of the time we wake up before 6 a.m. and you do something physical. You don't sit down. It could be walking.
Yeah.
It could be going outside. It could be something light. Some bodyweight training. We go and see Brad's site a lot, Seal Grinder PT, to do our warm-ups. But the training is the priority. I set up a gym in my garage, but this guy just walks the talk. Do you hear him? Did he say anything about a website? About, like, fucking sales letter, headlines, any of this shit? They go with him because he's a warrior. He didn't say, I'm going to lead you. He's just, he's here, and that's what people want. They need to be picked up. And tomorrow, you know, when Ultimate Warrior speaks, that's his legal name, Warrior. And he's inspired by the stuff that we do because we do it from the heart, not because we're training. He didn't say, I was training, and I knew I was going to get six-pack abs. Did he say that? It's just up here. It's like he's a warrior. And that's what's going to get you guys through the ups and downs. If you're going to be a coach, you think you're going to have some downs, you will. And you have to be physically strong to make you mentally tough to get through those points. If you think you're having a shitty day, just remember what this guy went through. And he's still on top. And I think now he hit that point where, you know, we all kind of hit that point where I guess we hit enough downs where we finally were, it's just like, now you're like just going up all the time. So you guys are going to go through those down times. You've got to remember the things that he's done. Here, here, and he always trained like a motherfucker. He's a fucking warrior. Okay? This guy just lives the code. That's it. That's what we need to do. That's why he's here speaking, because he represents what that's about. Okay? Give him a round of applause.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you.